This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Sunderland for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Let's begin our programme today with our gospel reading. Part of Jesus' earliest sermon, a straightforward lesson with two simple images that cut straight to the heart. The first can be found in verse 12 of Matthew 5. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." In New Testament times, salt that was collected would most likely have had impurities in it, not like our refined salt, depending, of course, on where it had been gathered. One historian, speaking of the procedure of processing salt at that time, suggested that once the salt had been extracted and washed out, being soluble, the residue, also known as salt, was fit for nothing else but road dust. It didn't have any taste to it, it was of no use and had no value. But the purest salt was to be treasured, so precious that in some places, such as Rome, it was salt and not money that was used in commerce and trading. Salt was given as wages, hence the word salary. Salt had two main uses, though, and was considered essential to life, especially so in the Middle East in the first century. Firstly, it was a preservative, and secondly, it was used to bring the flavour out in food. In our first song, Lauren Daigle sees Jesus as the ultimate salt and light, preserver of souls and life enhancer. It's a song called "You Are Salt and Light."
Oh, the beauty of a king. You make righteous those who revealing who you are. For you are salt and light. Oh, the love that set me free. You bring hope to those in need. You have salt and light. You are love's great heart.
So salt was a preservative first, to keep food from rotting in the heat of the sun. So when Jesus addressed the people of Israel as the salt of the earth, was he reinforcing the thought that they would preserve the world around them from evil, from danger, and from being lost to sin? And with salt bringing out the flavour of food, we have another expectation that the people of Israel would help others to seek life in all its fullness and richness. The prophet Amos once declared, "This is what the Lord God says to the house of Israel, seek me and live." And in John's gospel later on, Jesus says something very similar to his disciples. He offers the very same gift of life when he says, "I have come in order that you might have life. Life in all its fullness." Amos the prophet was forever telling people to return to God. You've lost your way, he would say, as is the case in this next song, inspired by Amos's words, chapter 5 of the book of Amos. And it's from my album Called to Serve. It's called An Ancient Song.
I will tell you a brand new story. I will sing an ancient song. For this people turn against me, do not know their right from wrong. I despise empty worship, cannot stand vain offerings, can't abide the gifts they bring me, close my ears to songs they sing. But let justice roll on freely like a river running clean. Righteousness be found among you like a never-failing stream. Look at all their endless idols, they have turned their backs on me. All secure and so complacent, look with eyes that cannot see. Bound with cords of darkness, held in bonds of misery. Turn to me, my captive people, I, your God, can set you free. But let justice roll on freely like a river running clean. Righteousness be found among you like a never-failing stream. But let justice roll on freely.
I wonder if you've heard of the word Ichabod in the Bible. It was a word mentioned in the book of Samuel, meaning God's glory has departed. Rather like salt losing its flavour, perhaps. We see examples in the Old Testament of leaders who fell from grace, such as King David, who committed adultery with a woman called Bathsheba, and who also arranged for her husband's death in the front line of battle, so she could be his. And there's mention of Samson, who gave away the secret of God's gift of strength to a woman named Delilah. And then there was Solomon, who allowed into his household foreign wives who worshipped other gods. These leaders never quite recovered the glory of their golden age. Their houses became divided as a consequence of their sin, their lands fell into ruin, or were eventually conquered by their enemies. Their salt lost its flavour, so to speak, through wilderness, adultery, and the worship of other gods. But they did seek God's forgiveness in time. We, being human, can let our guard down too, when we are drawn to comfort, compromise, and convenience, rather than to service, or when standards fall and we become less effective witnesses in the world. I was listening to a song the other day, sung by Celtic Thunder, a song written by Leonard Cohen called Alleluia. It mentions some of the situations these great leaders found themselves in and how they tried desperately to rediscover their soul's cry of Alleluia, a word which simply means praise God.
I heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do ya? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, a baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty and the moonlight overthrew ya. She tied you to her kitchen chair. She broke your throne and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the high. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Maybe there's a God above, but all I've ever learned from love was how to shoot somebody who outdrew ya. It's not a cry that you hear at night. It's not someone who has seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
When we fall out of step in matters of faith, it's said that we are the ones that move away from God. He never moves away from us. He has given us free choice, free will, out of his great love for us. He didn't create robots, but free-thinking people. But if we choose not to follow his perfect way, there may well be consequences we have to face of our own making. If we choose darkness over light in any form, that's where we end up unless we turn once more to the light. I don't know if you've ever heard of Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan. It's a story where you find such characters as Mr. Worldly Wiseman and Help, and places such as the Slough of Despond, as a pilgrim journeys through the land trying to fight off all kinds of temptations, straying from the path at times, but then finding his way again. So many enticements can make us forget our first love of God. But this next hymn calls for us to be steadfast and brave, to work for the Lord, to listen and know his will and not be put off or daunted. It's Maddie Pryor singing, "Who Would True Valor See?" Lively song there, one which encourages us to stay true, to keep on keeping on, one which tells us never to give up our faith in God. and if we do happen to stray, to turn around once more, for there is a way home. I remember a friend of mine telling me a story about plucking up the courage to go and make his confession to a priest after 20 or so years away from church. When he told the priest how long he'd been away, he expected to be told off. Instead, the old priest, after some thoughtful moment, said, "Welcome home, my son. Welcome home." Here's Pete Scott singing, "Faith Don't Fail Me Now."
I've been trying on my own, been almost done and nearly dying on my own, alone and never coming to believe, refusing to receive the gifts you offer to me. To ride the highway in the night means riding like a child into the night, while never wondering why we are drawing breath, refusing to accept the death you suffered for me. When my lock and key mentality was close to tearing down the line from you to me, and I can't see or bend my knee, I'm full of my grief, thinking only of my own pain and its relief. In a world that's always moving, never still, and I forget the hill you climbed to set me free. When I can't go on, and hope seems gone, I see the tree.
The second image in our reading today is light. It appears in the next verse of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." How easy it is, you know, to sit comfortably in front of a warm fire on a dark night, rather than exert ourselves to go out into the cold to keep some appointment. That's what was in the mind of a priest whose duty it was each evening to go and pray in his church at the top of the cliff near his vicarage. Not everyone in his parish attended evensong, and sometimes he would worship alone. He thought this particular night to give it a miss, as the weather was so very awful, but he felt rather guilty and changed his mind at the last minute, and off he went to light the lights in church and say the office, as was his duty. Far out at sea, lost and fearing for their lives, was a local fisherman and his son. They had lost their bearings and were trying to get their boat safely home, only they couldn't see where they were going in the dark. All of a sudden, the boy saw one single light on the shore and realized at once it was the light of their local church on the hill, and they headed towards it, and they were saved from a cold, watery grave. Had the priest not bothered himself to do his duty that night, two very special people would have been lost at sea. It begs the question, are we doing our duty as a church, as Christ's lights, to rescue and save the lost? Can the world around us see our light set on a hill, or is it tucked away beneath a bowl? Are we giving nourishment to those who are hungry? Do we offer warmth and succour to the homeless? Do we bring hope to the exile? Do we comfort those who mourn? "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace" is a perfect hymn to think about these very questions.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. where there's doubt, true faith in you. Oh, Master, grant that I may never speak so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace, where there's despair in life, let me bring warmth. Where there is darkness, let me bring your light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Oh, Master, grant that I may never speak so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace, for when we give, we will ourselves receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and in dying that we gain eternal life. And in dying that we gain.
That was Make Me a Channel of Your Peace, sung there by Aled Jones. In Old Testament scripture and at the time of Jesus, the people of Israel were known as God's chosen people. Their city was built on a hill. And how easy it would have been for those living nearby to look up and see the light shining in the darkness. Jesus was challenging, though, their spirituality. Their faith in God was meant to shine brightly for all to see and not be hidden away. So do our lights need to be kindled back to flame? Not for our own sakes, but so that others might see God at work through us and know how very real and present He is. Here's a song called Kindle the Flame. Northumbria Community sing it. Tom Wright, theologian, author, and evangelist, asks this question: Where does the world need salt and light right now? And how can we, through following Jesus, provide it? Oh, but we say the world has become such a dark and dangerous place. It's not safe to go out. Besides, our message may not be welcome. A poster once read, "But it's better to light one candle than to forever curse the darkness." Even if we have no faith at all and we're still searching for God, we can still be part of lighting up the world in so many different ways and bring full flavour to it. Here's a quote I read just yesterday by someone called L. R. Nost. It says this: "Do not be dismayed by the brokenness of the world. All things break, and all things can be mended. Not with time, as they say, but with intention. So go, love intentionally, extravagantly, unconditionally. The broken world waits in darkness for the light that is in you." Beautiful words there. But it's time to say goodbye now. We've run out of time. And we're going to end our programme with a lovely song written by Chris Tomlin and sung by Hillsong. It's called "Light of the World." It's goodbye from me, Sheila Hamill, and also from Andrew, my technician.
Bye, everyone.
Bye for now.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're mine.